crown of thorns raised on his head. He knew the Lord would soon be dead.
Bless you, Rita.
He said to you, forget me, Father, did you?
Bless the Lord.
He hung his head and prepared to die, then lifted his face up to the sky, said, I am coming home now, Father, to you.
Yes, bless his name.
A reed which held his final sin,
yeah,
was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave. The soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord said, truly this is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He looked with fear upon his sword and turned to face his crimson Lord. Took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown, then laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet inside. Now in our hearts we know he died to save us from days went by,
yeah,
and again they came to move the stones to bless the same,
yeah,
with thorn and spice anointing. Hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone. For Jesus Christ has
his forked tongue and confess Jesus as Lord. Amen.
That's right. Yes, he is.
Thank you, Rita. Bless them, Lord.
Sharon, you can play if it's in C.
No, that's all right.
Woman in the Bible.
You ain't got
the
right keys, Caroline.
Yes, I have. Yes.
You ain't the Jerry,
yes, I am.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
That's a Lord.
A woman in the Bible days. It's B flat.
B flat?
Oh, no, right.
No, we've done this once before, and I know it's a woman in the Bible days. Her last meal all stone.
That's a Lord.
God, I'm running for your heart. today. Here I am, a soul on fire. Here I am, a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Here I am, a soul on fire. God, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day.
You have to check this out.
Don't know anything about that. I'm what Brother Ed calls a low-tech man in the high-tech world, amen? My pastor says we sing by the letter, we're back and let her go. I was looking at Sister Carolyn and Sister Sharon was Carolyn was standing on Sharon's microphone cord, and I thought, well, she ain't gonna go too far, but they made it through it, amen. I can't sing a lick, so I'll just tell you right now, I appreciate those that did sing. I think singing is praising God.
Yes,
little Lucy comes up here, I mean, she praises God. And even though we might not understand it, the Lord does. I can't sing a lick, I ain't even gonna try, so that'll help us all, amen. But, Brother Patrick just sung that song, I'm Running for the Lord. And I not only never heard the song before, but I liked it.
Yeah.
And he made me a minister of fire. Hey, man, I have to admit, I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for God. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
We got a blessing today, Brother Lee Watts. He ran for Congress, and I voted for him and prayed for him.
Yeah.
And evidently, God had a higher calling for him. Amen. We wouldn't have him today if he'd got elected. And I myself don't understand the will of God in things. I know what I want. And every now and then I know what God wants.
Yeah.
But I try my best to follow the leadership of God, to follow the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Psalm 23, He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But it's a blessing and it's my honor to introduce Brother Lee Watts here this morning. If you missed the Sunday school lesson this morning, let me strongly encourage you to the highest extent, strongly encourage you to go to the Facebook page.
And watch it.
And watch that Sunday school lesson. It was very informative. I was blown away by the information and by the not only the information, but also how much there was that I wasn't even aware of. And I'm going to ask Brother Lee to come on up here. We'll give him plenty of time to preach. So glad to have him.
Yes.
We've been praying for him. I know he's going a long way.
Thank you, Pastor.
I hope it ends up being worth his while to drive that far. We're glad to have him, amen. This is a small church.
Well, I appreciate it. This was only about a two-hour trip, so that's not nearly as bad. I had to preach one time. Got to preach one time. This church was 5 hours away.
Wow.
So I get up way before crack of dawn, and I drive 5 hours to this little place. I think it's called Hickman or Hindman, Kentucky, way over in western Kentucky. So we preached about 45 minutes, and then I got to drive 5 hours home.
Wow.
So I asked the pastor, I said, "Pastor, how much more Kentucky is there?" He says, "You see the end of our parking lot? That's Missouri."
Wow.
Anyway, so this is a joy to be with y'all. This is my old stomping grounds. I grew up in Bowling Green. And my best friend in high school was from Smith's Grove. So this is just like being home with me. So anyway, take your Bibles, please, this morning. Turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 19. Thank you, Pastor, for the water. I'll be drinking that. People got different preferences. They like the Evian, or I like the kind of water that says Dr. Pepper.
Hey, man. I got you another bottle over too, brother.
That'd be great. And then Pastor mentioned the lesson we did this morning. If you'd like to get that, I do a series of lessons on what I call America's Christian heritage and our biblical principles. I got all that. I got a little table set up in the back. Everything's on a jump drive that you can watch in your TV or your computer. And I've written some books. One of them compares different Bible versions. We've all been told, I'm sure everybody in this room has been told the same thing. The modern Bibles say the same thing as your old King James. They just use the modern language. Has everybody been told that? Everybody's heard that. Well, that's what I was told too. But I actually did something. I checked. And I got a bunch of these Bibles, and I put them side by side, and I found out, do they actually say the same thing, just in a different way? Well, I'll give you a hint. I'll be reading out of the King James Bible today. So if you'd like to see them side by side, because that's what we're told, actually check. I got it back there side by side in the top 12 selling English versions, and I highly encourage you to get a copy of that. We Baptists are very good on saying and teaching what we believe. Mm-hmm. We often lack in why we believe it.
Amen.
And just because that's what the preacher said, that's what the evangelist said, that will do no eternal good. What does the Word of God say on these things? So I encourage you to do your homework. Then there's another book on there going through the book of the Revelation, and I hope that'll be a blessing for you. I've known your pastor for a long time, and he invited me out, so I knew it would be a joy to be with you all. And let's open up in a word of prayer and invite God's presence today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you have given us, set aside, that we can say one day of rest, a day where we can be with you, Father, to be renewed and regenerated, to have our minds once again conformed to yours. I invite your Holy Spirit's presence here today, Father. I ask you to anoint the reading of your holy word, that you may uplift that. May you uplift your Son. May your Holy Spirit alone have free reign in this place. I ask you, Father, to drive from our mind everything that is of this world, of this flesh, and what the devils would have. I ask you, Father, all these things in the precious, powerful, and holy name of Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Bless you, brother. Okay, we're going to be looking at both the Old and the New Testaments today. Now, the Old Testament, has often been said, is the picture of what God was about to do in imagery. It's often literal events, but it's also an image of what was about to come to pass in the New Testament and some things that are even about to happen in our days. For examples of this, in the Old Testament, they would take a lamb, and it had to be a lamb without spot. It had to be a perfect lamb, and then they'd sacrifice that to pay not for the things that the lamb did wrong, but to pay for the sins of things that people had done wrong.
Yeah,
a perfect picture of what would be the coming Christ, Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, was flawless, and his blood sacrificed for men. The story of the Passover. I don't know if you know about this. In Jewish custom, they still have every year a formal Passover meal. And if you've never had an opportunity to do one of those, I highly encourage y'all have somebody in to do that. One of the traditions they will do during Passover is they will have this piece of bread at the beginning. They will break the bread. Then they'll take one of the pieces and they will wrap it in a white cloth. And they go hide that away. Then before the meal can be ended, the youngest person in the room has to go in to find it. And they open up the cloth and then they then partake of the last piece of the bread. All of that, a perfect picture of the coming Christ, who would be broken for us. He'd be wrapped up in the sheet, but then 3 days later, he would come across, come out of the grave, and he says, and he will eat of my body and drink of my blood. We know what that means. In the Bible, we see the picture in Egypt. The Israelites were in Egypt, a picture of being in the bondage of this world. Egypt is always a picture of this world being in sin. And then one day, they had the original Passover came, where the death angel came, but if you saw put the blood, you believe the blood would protect you, you put the blood over there, the angel said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We got a picture of they come out from Egypt. They come out from this world. They've been covered by the blood. And then what happens after you get saved? Well, then they go through the Red Sea, a picture of baptism. Going through there. Then they're over in the wilderness, a time of testing. There were those who believed God's word and lived a victorious life, and there was those who had been delivered from this old wicked world of Egypt, and they didn't believe God's word, and they died in the wilderness. But then one day you cross over into Jordan, into that promised land, and as what's been talked about this morning, even so come Lord Jesus. Now, crossing into that Red Sea. This is a picture of baptism by immersion. It's not the Reed Sea. There's some historians that say when the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea, which is close by. And the Reed Sea is about ankle deep. And they say that's not biblical. Because first of all, that's not being submerged. They were covered by walls of water on each side, go through it. And I've heard it said before that even if it was the Reed Sea, it was a mighty miracle because God drowned the entire Egyptian army. But that's why they had to choose to go through that. As long as I'm hitting baptism, I don't know why, but God told me to hit baptism this morning. After you are saved, you accepted Christ as your Savior, then the next thing to do scripturally is to be baptized. If you've not been scripturally baptized, then I want to say if you're saved, you have the Lord's will. And you need to be scripturally baptized. We don't believe in the infant baptism. That's what they call pedo-baptism, like a pediatric person having to deal with children. No, it's a choice each individual must make. And then not sprinkled, not poured on, immersion. Every time you see baptism in the Bible, it is always complete immersion. Let me give you a little history lesson real quick. I love history. This idea of sprinkling and just pouring on people, that actually didn't show up until the time of the Black Plague. During the Middle Ages, for like 1,000+ years, that didn't even exist. But during the time of the Black Plague, so many people were dying, and they hadn't been baptized into the Catholic faith, and they couldn't get out of their bed. So the priest would just come over and sprinkle them with holy water, pour it around them. And that's where they just made that up. Was something they invented, not biblical at all, an invention of the Catholic Church. Baptism shows a picture. Again, we're talking about imagery today because that's what we're going to be reading about in Genesis 19. Baptism is saying, okay, I've accepted Christ as my Lord, my Savior. I want to identify with Him. So here is me, and then there's a picture of the death. I'm going down under the water. Then the burial. You don't bury a body halfway. You bury a body all the way under the ground. Yeah. You know, halfway, I don't want to attend that funeral. All the way under the ground. And then comes the resurrection, coming back up as a new creature. Then let me just say with that, I'm a Baptist. This is a Baptist church. You're going to be hearing Baptist preaching. I am very for baptism, but there's nothing magic about that water.
Amen.
Right. You can be baptized every single day and still go to hell. Baptism is a picture of identifying with Christ. It is nothing to do with your salvation.
Amen.
It will have to do with your obedience to God.
Yes.
But I always use that illustration of the thief on the cross. There was the one thief that rejected Christ, the one thief that accepted Christ. He admitted he was a sinner. He's like, I'm here because I deserve this.
Yeah.
He turned to Christ. He says, this person is perfect. He's sinless. He's done nothing wrong. He says, this is the sinless. And then he called him Lord. He's like, I'm a sinner. You are Lord.
Yeah.
I admit it. And you are perfect. And then he said that you're God. Because he says, hey, when you go into heaven, he says, that's your kingdom. And when you go into your kingdom, Will you remember an old sinner like me? What did Christ say? He's like, today you will be with me in paradise. Except you didn't get baptized, so sorry.
Yeah.
No. Accepting Christ, right. Believing, admitting you're
a sinner.
Baptism, right. Good. Baptism's great.
Yeah.
But it's something for obedience, not for salvation.
Amen, brother.
I don't know how I got off on all that. Actually, I do know. God told me to hit it this morning. It's right here in the notes. But that's what we got. So tonight, this morning, title is this morning's sermon, because they told me in Bible, preacher school, you got to give all your sermons a title. So this one is called, Who's the Boss? Maybe if you're like my age or a little older, you remember back in the 80s, there was that TV show, Who's the Boss? Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. Who's really the boss of things? And the trouble that we get sometimes is we get to thinking, we're the boss. And we want to be the boss. We have to remember, we are not the boss. When I was talking to Brother Wade, he was saying that your church during Sunday school had been going through the book of Genesis. And that you had finished up the most recent lessons in Genesis 19. And was getting ready to go on. And I was praying about what the Lord would have me do. And he said, well, that's exactly what I want you to do, but not for Sunday school, for the preaching hour. So here we are in the story of Genesis 19. We have the story of Lot. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is just ascending up like a stench before God's throne.
Yeah.
And God has eventually said, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm killing them all off because that's the only solution. Some things, just like you got a big hairy spider in your house, you kill it with fire.
Yeah,
I mean, you stick it away and just kill it with fire. God's like, that's what I'm going to do to this old world one day. And it's a picture of what's coming.
Yeah.
He's going to destroy this old world with fire.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you recycle. You want to recycle? Fine. Have yourself a time. I don't care how much that you climate control. This whole earth is going to experience extreme global warming.
Yeah, man.
And everything everywhere is going to melt. So you can burn all the tires, bury the styrofoam, not going to make a dime's bit of difference.
Hey, man.
So God sends two angels because God says, I do have some of my people there. Righteous Lot had vexed his soul. He's there. He is one of mine. Get him out before the judgment comes. We're going to be seeing how that's a picture of what's to come here in a second. But the trouble is, Lot didn't want to go.
Amen.
He liked it there. He's very comfortable. He didn't necessarily agree with it all, but you know what? He tolerated it. Today we are hit over the head with a big sledgehammer. Tolerate sin, tolerate sin, tolerate sin.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the Bible tells you you're supposed to tolerate that.
Right.
In fact, Lot tolerated it, and God says you're wrong and you need to be out from this stuff. You are vexing your righteous soul with this.
Yeah.
Tolerance is not in the Bible. We are nowadays being told to tolerate sin, to tolerate insanity, to tolerate lies, and act like everything's normal and sane and right, and it is not. And we need a group to stand up and say, listen, I've gone along too long with this, too far, I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. I'm here today preaching intolerance.
Right.
Amen.
All right, now that's not going to be popular, won't get many likes, but I'm not here to be liked. So let's start over in Genesis chapter number 19, in verse number 1. Preacher who's liked is too popular, I'm immediately concerned about him. Because a man of God has never been popular throughout history.
Amen.
Right.
All right. That's, I just thought that should be hit long as we're there. All right. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 1 says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, I want to point out a few things here. We're going to be doing what's called exegesis this morning. Exegesis actually has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Exegesis is a term that means going line by line through a text. So that's what we're doing. Now, first of all, notice where we see Lot in the story. He is sitting in the gate of Sodom. Well, remember the last time that we first heard about Sodom, Abraham and Lot, their uncle and nephew there, and they've got to part ways. They got too much stuff, and their employees that work for them are fussing, so they're like, we need to separate ways. Abraham tells Lot, you can have your choice of which way to go. You go to the east, I'll go west. If you go west, I'll go east. Where do you want to go? And so Lot looks over towards Sodom. He's like, well, this is good land. It's well watered. Rolling hills. They got a Walmart. I mean, it's a nice area. I'm going to go over towards Sodom. So it says the first thing he does is he doesn't move to Sodom. He pitches his tent towards Sodom. So what he's doing is when the opening for his tent, when he go out every day, it was looking towards Sodom. Well, that's the trouble, because whichever way you are looking is the way you are going to wind up. You ever be driving down the street and you see something over here that looks interesting and you look at it, but pretty soon you hear da 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 da. Because you just naturally start going the way that you are looking.
Amen.
And the same thing happens on our life. Whatever that we are looking at, you know what? You're going to get closer and closer to that.
Right.
People don't normally walk backwards. You normally walk the direction that you are looking.
Yes.
And if you aren't, what did your mama say growing up? Look where you are going.
Amen.
Because that's what you're supposed to do. And that's the way it's going to wind up. Lot was looking towards this world.
Yeah.
He grew up in the right thing. He was trained the right way. He wound up looking towards this world. And the more that he looked at it, the more it appealed to his flesh. And the more he got closer and closer to it. I imagine he thought, well, instead of going to Sodom, you know, once a week to do my trading, it's a big long trip, I'll just get just maybe a little bit closer to Sodom.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, well, maybe it's still a half-day trip. Maybe I'll just move halfway a little bit closer. Yeah. Until one day he's like, well, why don't I just move inside?
Amen.
And that's exactly the way that your sin is. I want you to think now, do we have any sinless, who has achieved sinless perfection? Raise your hand. Brother, you had this church how long and you have no sinless? Well, good. I'm glad nobody was foolish enough to raise their hand, because then we'd have to have a little Bible study. All right? James said, if we have no sin, then we lie to ourselves. We all admit that there's something in our lives that's not supposed to be there.
Amen.
Now, you may be the only person who knows about that. Maybe it's just something in your thought life. Nobody knows you. You thought you keep hidden and it is hidden. Maybe only your family knows. Maybe only somebody at work. Maybe somebody in your past that you hope never shows up to tell people what's going on. I want you to think, you're like, well, this is where I'll go. I know it's a sin in my life. This is wrong. This is a sin. And I just admitted it. But I never go any farther. Well, let me ask you a question. You will go the direction you are looking.
Yeah.
If you were to take your sin the next logical step, if you went farther, where would you be?
Wow.
Because I'm telling you, you are going there. I've got people all over this world that I know, and throughout history, you know the story where people think that they would never wind up doing what they wound up doing. The preacher who gave me this Bible was one of my heroes. I'd just been called into the ministry. He was a renowned man of God, was doing a mighty work. And he's in prison tonight because of not just some crime, because of sin.
Wow.
And I just got a little note in my Bible, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Remember. And then I got a list of three other preachers.
Mm-hmm. Remember me.
And they all thought, nobody know, and I'll never go any farther.
Are you sure?
And today they're either in prison or out of the ministry.
Mm.
One's repented, can no longer pastor, but he's got right with God.
Amen.
And people who are stronger and mightier and nobler than us all thought, I can handle it. I can keep a hold of this.
Yeah.
Right.
We are fools, fools, fools. The devil is more experienced. He's more cunning.
Yeah.
And he will trip you up every time. The minute you think you've got it under control is when he's like, now I've got it.
Remember,
you know why? Because the Bible says, you know what? You're not going to control it. And you think that you're the boss. Trouble is, you've given all authority over to the devil or to the flesh. And that next logical step, if you took that next step, where would you be? You'd be like, oh, well, if I did that next step, then I'd be in trouble. Well, I want you to think about this. What's the next step after that?
Yeah.
This is my sin. If I took it one step, this is what I would be doing.
It's good.
If I took it two steps.
Oh, my. Brother.
Yeah. Lot wound up with the father, what would be the nation of Israel. He's doing God's will, and then he separates. He just starts looking at this world. He got closer and closer. And then we find him not just living in Sodom. He's in the gate.
Right.
Now, if you remember, the gate is where the public officials would go. This is where they would hold judgment. Remember when Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom from King David? And Absalom was going to steal the hearts of the men of Israel. Where was Absalom? He was in the gate of Jerusalem. Why? This is where they did all the business. This is where the political officials are. So Lot is not just living in Sodom. He's one of the politicians in charge of the thing.
Remember, Lee.
So he has pitched his tent. And you know what? You're not going to realize that you want the things of this world unless you start looking at the things of this world.
You're right.
When I remember my son, when he was a little fella, he came to me one day. I came home from work. And he says, hey, Dad, I want a T-Rex mountain. Now, I never heard T-Rex Mountain, and I never heard a boy even say the words T-Rex Mountain. I said, what in the world is that? Well, it was this little place that you could be dinosaurs on a mountain. And I said, well, did you see that at the store? It's like, no, they don't have it at the store, but I saw a commercial on TV, and I've got to have a T-Rex Mountain. Didn't know it existed until he saw it on TV, and then he's like, I got to have it. Be careful, little eyes, what you said. There's no problem with this little T-Rex Mountain, and he got it for Christmas. This little mountain with old dinosaurs. No problem with that. But the principle is, you don't know what you want until you look at it. Amen. And the devil's going to make sure that you can look at it. In fact, the devil's going to make sure that you can get it. I was there's one guy when I was another church one time. He had moved up from Florida, and I said, "What brought you up here from Florida?" He says, "Well, I couldn't take any more free crack." I was like, "What do you mean free crack? People will millionaires will spend everything they've got and spend millions, lose everything to buy it." He's like, "No, the devil made sure I'd get it for free." He's like, "So I just had to move out of the state."
Wow.
And get up there. Whatever you is your weakness, the devil will make sure that you can get it.
Good.
The flesh wants it, the world has it, and the devil makes sure you can get it.
That's good preaching.
You need to run and flee. Trouble is we've got our sin, and we walk, and we get comfortable with it, we get to liking it. It's like you take a step, you get a rock in your shoe. And you're busy, you don't have time to take the rock out of your shoe, you got to get somewhere. So you take that first step, and you're like, oh, man, a rock in my shoe. And you, the next day you get up, you forget to take the rock out, and you get walking, you're like, oh, forgot about that stinking rock. And then the next day you forgot again. And you know what? If you leave that rock in there for a while, you're going to start building up a callus. Then after you've had a callus for a while, that rock, you don't even know it, you don't pay attention, it's just there, and you don't even think about it.
Amen.
That's the trouble with our sin.
Yeah.
God says he literally says he is angry at the wicked every day.
Right.
Sin is wickedness, is it not? God says that he is angry at the wicked. God being angry at me, oh, what a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
Psalm 7:11.
Yeah.
It's 9:11. Think about 7:11.
Yeah.
God is angry at the wicked every day. I've got sin in my life. I just admitted it. I walked in here with it. You know what? Don't walk out here with that same sin.
Amen.
Every church I've ever been to in my whole life, and again, I grew up in church. I've been to tens of thousands of church services. And it always is the same way. The pastor will greet the people as they come into the church. And they'll be like, hi, how are you today? And everybody will say the same thing. Well, I'm fine, pastor. Or, you know, I got a backache. You know, something like that. I've never seen anybody in all the thousands of services that I've been in, over 50 years of life now, somebody walk in and say, well, pastor, I'm just in terrible sin. I sure hope you got something to help me today.
Amen.
I've never heard anybody say that.
Right.
You know what? Because most people coming in don't think they are in terrible sin.
That's right.
God says all sin is the same to God. We see his little white lies. Your wife asked me, does this dress make me look fat? You better say no. Lie, lie, lie. Trust me. Now the trouble is God says thou shalt not lie. Now we see that's a little white lie just for peace in your house.
Right.
And then versus somebody who goes out there and burns a house down and kills a whole family of orphans or something. And we're like, well, that's a terrible sin versus, oh, that's not such a big deal. Sin is sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And whatever it is, we've got comfortable with it, and I hope today we realize God is not comfortable with it.
No.
And I hope he is pricking your conscience saying, you've had this for too long. You can make a choice today. Who's going to be the boss here?
It's good, brother.
Are you going to be the boss?
It's good.
Or am I? Right. So in verse number 1, we see what he had cast his eyes on. In Romans chapter 1, verse 32, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's things in this world where you're like, well, I'd never do that. Yeah. But I kind of get a kick out of other people doing it.
Right.
And you can fill in whatever sin it is for you.
Yeah.
The Bible says you are just as guilty in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, which I just read to you. You know which would be a great day for repentance? Today.
Would
be a great day for repentance.
Amen.
So he has sat in the gate. The trouble is, a lot of people, they don't want to give. They realize what's going on, but they don't really want to make a change. I know when I was in the military, I had this lieutenant that I was witnessing to. She wasn't saved, and I witnessed to her, and she got under conviction, and she just plainly told me. She's like, Sergeant Watts, I, to be honest, everything makes sense, and I'd like to do that, but I know if I did that and accepted Christ, I have to give up a few things which I enjoy, so I don't want to do it. Whether you are here today and you've not accepted Christ, or you have and you're not right with God, because you're like, you know, I could get right with God, but I just enjoy doing these other things.
That's right.
The judgment of God is coming. Remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter number 19?
Yeah.
He went up to Christ and he says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said unto him in verse 22 of that chapter, he says that you have to give up what you've got and come follow me.
Yeah.
He's like, you have to sacrifice. Give up what your flesh enjoys. And that's my will for your life.
Yeah.
Verse 22, it says, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions."
Mm.
All of us want God's blessings, God's provision, God's protection, maybe God's healing, God's hand on our loved ones or friends. But the trouble is, we often don't want to give up what we want and let God be in charge to have Him do things the way He wants. God's Word says what is right and what is wrong, not our opinion.
Right.
And the trouble is nowadays is man's opinion is being elevated over God's opinion. Man's opinion is being elevated over reality. Where people nowadays can say that they are a cat. And we're all supposed to act like that's a thing. And treat them like they are a cat. First of all, a cat can be set outside in the winter and fed cat food. A cat doesn't get Wi-Fi privileges. Cats aren't allowed to go to school. And we are being told that, you know, you're supposed to treat them like that. That is insanity.
Amen.
We used to lock people up when they thought that they were Napoleon or that they were a cat. And now they're supposed to be, I'm supposed to lie to them and lie to everybody else. Yeah. It is insanity. It is a rejection of God. It is a rejection of reality. It is from the Father of lies. And lies are being pushed into reality.
Amen.
Good, Brother Lee.
Amen, Brother Lee. That's why I'd be the only church that has me back, but I like y'all. Right. I like y'all. All right. In Luke chapter number 16, we have the rich man in hell. And he was desperate to see his family escape his same fate.
Yeah.
He's like, he didn't even ask to get out himself. He knew that wasn't a possibility. He just asked for some relief, some mercy. There is no mercy.
No
there
mercy.
Is no relief. He says, "Well, at least don't let my family come here. I've got five brothers."
Mm-hmm.
"And Father Abraham, send somebody back from the dead to warn my five brothers."
Right.
Now, what does Father Abraham say? He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Now, he didn't mean the person Moses. By this time in history, Moses had been dead 1,000 years. So what he's referring to is the books of the Bible that Moses wrote.
Right.
We read here in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He's like, listen, they have the Bible. And the Bible tells them everything they need.
Right.
And they have the prophets. What's that? Right. The prophet is the preacher. The word prophet or to prophesy means two things. Prophesy means to foretell.
Mm-hmm.
It also means to forthtell.
Yeah.
They got the Bible and they got the preachers telling them everything. That's all they need. But what did the rich man say? In rich man, he said, let me just turn over there real quick. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16. And I want to read verses 27 through 31. So you got the rich man here in hell. Luke 16, starting at verse 27. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment."
Mm-hmm.
Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one unto them went up from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now we see several things here. First of all, we see what is God's plan. We see they have the Bible and they have preaching. That's all they need.
Yeah.
And this guy is in hell and he still thinks, "I've got a better plan than God does."
Mm.
He's like, they need the Bible and they need preaching. And he says, no, they need something else.
That's
good, bro. He's still rejecting God's Word.
Yeah.
Still rejecting God's will. Still rejecting God's plan. And that's the way that it is. No, I've got a better idea.
They
need to send somebody back from the dead. But remember, what did Abraham say? He's like, if you don't follow God's plan, even if they did your plan, they still wouldn't believe, even if somebody came back from the dead.
Right.
Now, you think, well, that's crazy talk. If people saw somebody come back from the dead, they believe. Oh, wait a second. Notice what the Bible says. Matthew, we see the story of Christ's life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Right.
Then after he's resurrected, he's walking around to be shown in front of many witnesses, as many as 400 people at one time. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, this is again during his after his resurrection, it says, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted."
Right. Yeah.
Even though one came back from the dead.
Yeah.
Amen. They still won't believe.
Amen.
That was proven true in the book of Matthew.
Yes.
And the other Gospels record the same thing.
Right.
God's plan, you hear the preaching, you obey my word, and that's all that you will ever need.
That's good, bro.
And yet we think, well, I got a better idea. I remember one time I was up at the Capitol building. For those of you who don't know, I serve not only as an evangelist, I serve as the missionary chaplain to our state capitol. And we had the senator one time. He's no longer in office. In fact, he's passed away now. And I was talking to him about this bill that was up for a vote. They were going to turn it into a law. And I'm like, listen, this bill is it's unbiblical. And he was a Christian fellow, and I showed him the Word of God. This is what the Scriptures say about this. Mm-hmm. And it's very plain. He's like, yes, I know what the Bible says, Brother Lee, but I got to think what's best for Kentucky. The audacity.
Right.
For especially, I believe he probably was a saved man. Maybe not in God's will. Doesn't change your salvation.
Right.
The audacity.
Right.
To admit,
amen,
God's word says this,
but, I'm on
but I know better.
That's good, Brother Lee.
Oh my.
Who's the boss?
That's good.
God's word says this, do this, this is the way you're supposed to treat your wives.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it says, but you know, I got reasons to not do that. I know the wife said, you know, so should submit in your husband and those things which are godly. She's like, yeah, but you don't know my husband. I know God says this is right and this is wrong. You know what? I think I'm a little more intelligent than I'm more enlightened.
Mm.
Who's the boss?
It's good, Brother Lee.
So, let's go back to our main text there in Genesis chapter number 19. So, Lot is in power. And then, notice what happened to Lot. We see another picture of this story in another section of the New Testament. It's described to us the condition of Lot. It is in 2 Peter chapter number 2. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6, it says this about this story we're reading about. It says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them and overthrew, making them an example unto those after who should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. He's like, this was a just man.
Yeah.
But he's living amongst all this stuff.
Right.
Notice what else it says. It says, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
Mm.
It's like, you know what? This all this stuff going on, he was a righteous, and it bothered him. But the trouble is, he tolerated it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like it. He didn't think it was right. But he tolerated it. And we'll see the consequences of that. Notice what else it says in 2 Peter 2:6. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Vexed his soul. He could have had a lot of blessings in his life. I mean, he's related to Abraham. God had blessed him mightily before he ever even went to Sodom. We notice that Lot winds up losing everything he's got because he lives in Sodom eventually. It gets it taken away during a being conquered one time. And then when this story comes, everything he ever had, the only thing he's got is what he's able to carry in his hands.
Right.
Everything else, clothes on his back, what he carried with him, everything else gets burned up in the city.
Amen.
That's the way that it is. We think we got all this stuff. We realize this life is but a vapor.
Amen.
Later this month, I will turn 51 years old.
Oh my.
On the 20th. So there's only a few shopping days left. Now, Brother Lee's birthday. All right. And this year, I think I would like bricks. Gold bricks. That's what I would like. No. So anyway, I will turn 51 years old this year. And I got to tell you, this one, anyone with a 1 or 2 behind, doesn't bother me. Ones with a 0 behind it have hit me hard. When I turned 30, it hit me hard. I'm like, I'm no longer a kid. I have to be an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hit 40, I'm like, I'm middle age.
Yeah.
And then I hit 50 this last year. And I'm like, 50? I can't be 50. Dad is 50. Because when I left home, my father was about 50 years old. That's when my kids at home. And in my brain, Dad is stuck at about 50. My dad's now 83 years old. And I'm like, but now I can't be 50.
Amen.
It has gone by like that.
I can.
Yeah,
and the older I get, the faster it goes.
Right.
And I look back, and it is just what the Bible says. Our life is as a vapor, which appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. Everything that you have in this life, 1 millisecond after your heart does that last beat, none of it matters.
You're right.
And eternity is not as the length of your lifetime. Eternity is not a long time. Eternity
is eternity.
Right.
And it says, don't lay up treasures here where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Lay up those treasures in heaven. And some people are going to show up in heaven because they accepted Christ and they're going to go to their mansion. And you know what? There's not going to be a lot of treasures there. Because you need to be laying up stuff there.
Amen.
They were too concerned about what's here.
Yes,
and
that's right.
And it doesn't matter. And the minute you realize it doesn't matter and God's in charge of all of it anyway,
that's right,
is the minute that we realize I'm not the boss of all this. God's in charge of it.
Yeah.
I'm just the manager of what He's given.
Amen. Good story.
So, we looked at the depravity that had happened over there in Sodom. And because of this depravity, notice what has happened to Lot. He winds up doing things which you would think no sane person, I would think no person who's a child of God would ever do. Notice what he does there. Let's go over to the men come to his house, the two men who are angels, and they visit him, and the men of the city come, and they beat on the walls, because basically they want to rape the two angels that are visiting with Lot.
Right.
And so what does Lot do? What else what he does over there in verse number 18? Hold a second, let me back up a little bit here. Is it verse 4? No, the verse 4, the men of the city beat upon the doors. Lot goes to the door. And then notice what he says there in verse number 8. Lot's talking to the wicked men trying to rape the two angels. He says, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He is now willing to take his two virgin daughters, and if you think about when they would get married back then, these are probably tween girls. He's like, hey, I will bring these out here to this raping mob, and you can do to them anything that you want. You just leave these guys alone that came into my house. The depravity.
Amen.
Of what Lot is now accepting, because I guess this was okay. In the city, the people in the city are okay with this. It's been said before, very correctly, that sin will make you go farther than you ever intended to go.
Amen.
It will make you stay longer than you wanted to stay and make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay.
Right.
Amen.
Every one of those preachers that are in the front of my Bible, I've got their names down. Remember. They all wind up doing much more than they expected and they wind up costing them everything.
Right.
And you are no exception.
Right.
I don't know who I'm talking to today or several people, but you know what? I think somebody's on a precipice and they don't even realize it. And God says, listen, it's all about to come crashing down. You'll make a choice today.
Amen.
Who's in charge?
Amen.
Now notice what it says in verse 10. It says that the angels had to pull Lot away, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Lot wasn't going to leave. They had to force him to do this. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says they warn Lot the city's about to be destroyed. Notice what it says. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. He had some other daughters, in addition to the two he talked about. And said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But they seemed to him as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot was here. He's living with the wicked crowd. He's going along with them. He doesn't like it, but he's tolerating it. He's not standing up for what's right. And then one day, he's like, you know what? The Lord's coming, and judgment's coming. We need to get out of this old wicked world. And they just thought, this guy had no testimony at all. He had no godly influence, no godly pull. And so, you know what? He wasn't able to save a single person in there.
Amen.
Has a testimony right now. Every once in a while, you have somebody in your family die. And it's going to happen eventually. Our loved one, somebody you know, respect a lot, and you go to their funeral. And I've been to these. I hate to tell you, and you're going to have to go to one sometime yourself. And there's going to be, let's say there's a person who has passed away and never accepted Christ. They lived wickedly their whole life. Just everybody knows they were just a wicked person. And yet that no good for nothing preacher will get up and we'll preach them into heaven. And we'll just say, oh, they're in a better place. And no, they're not. I wish I could tell you that was so with all sincerity. But I can't. And it's happened before. It'll probably at funerals today, you'll have some good-for-nothing fake preacher get up there and preach some wicked reprobate in heaven.
Right. That's right.
And you got somebody who's sitting there who's never accepted Christ.
Right.
And for a few short moments or hours in their life, they're laying in there and they're thinking, what's going to happen to me a half a second after I'm dead? And their mind is open to the thought of eternity.
Right.
And this guy dropped the ball.
Right.
And you're sitting next to your friend. and you're the only one that might have a chance to rescue them from that eternity.
Right.
What kind of testimony you've got to witness to your friend?
It's good, brother.
Well, at work, we don't bring up religion. People really don't even know. I don't tell the dirty jokes. I'm there when they say it. You know, maybe I don't laugh at them, but I don't say anything about it. They take the Lord's name in vain, and you know, I don't participate in that, and I don't say I approve of that, but I just go along. I don't think about it. And then when you go to testify to mm-hmm. a witness to them,
yeah.
right. you have no influence.
Right.
Well, what makes you different from the rest of us? Mm-hmm. Remember Nicodemus? Mm-hmm. Nicodemus went to Christ by night. I believe he accepted Christ. Because if you read later in the book of John, mm-hmm. the Pharisees are like, hey, let's bring this Jesus guy before us. Arrest him and bring us here. Now, the smart thing for Nicodemus would have been to do was not to agree with him and say, well, yeah, this guy's wicked. Smart thing would have been just shut up, don't say anything. But what did Nicodemus do? He stood up, he said, wait a minute here. Are we going to condemn anybody before we hear him? How about we actually hear the words of Jesus?
Yeah.
And when it came to the crucifixion, who was there to take Christ back off the cross? Was it Peter, James, and John? Should have been. It was two minor characters.
Right.
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus.
Yeah.
He came at night at first, a baby Christian. Didn't want any of those other Pharisees to know.
Right.
And then we know the Pharisees are around the cross because they're like, hey, if he is God, let him see him come down off the cross. Then I'll believe him. Yeah. They're all right there. What does he do? He goes right up in front of all of them.
Yeah.
That's right.
He had testimony.
Amen.
What's your testimony? Could you actually do that? This guy Lot, he had lost his entire testimony.
Right.
He wasn't able to convince anybody that destruction is coming, and it is coming quick. I'm telling you, destruction is coming to this earth.
Yeah.
And it is coming quickly.
Amen.
The Lord willing, we'll talk about that at the end, but I must hasten. I must hasten because I'm getting hungry. All right. Verse 14. He loses his testimony. Verses 15 and 16. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened. So God's people are moving quickly. Hastened Lot, saying, arise. He's still laying in the bed. He says, arise. Take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. He was just Moses. He's still, you know what? I don't think he believed it himself. Because if he really thought destruction's coming in this city today, he wouldn't be laying, taking, sleeping in late.
You're
and
right.
After he got up, he's like, well, I need to get my coffee first. Well, I got to check my email first. Well, I want to see what's going on with the real news. Read my paper. And he was just meandering. And they're like, no, you need to get out. You need to get out now. Judgment is coming really, really quick.
Yeah.
And they had to force him out.
Yeah.
I am telling you, judgment is coming very, very quickly.
At the door. Whew.
Where's God telling you to go right now? Because I tell you, if you're not going where God tells you to go, judgment is coming very, very quickly.
Right.
I had a pastor friend, dear pastor friend of mine, and it was clear as all get out. To me, the other man of the church, God is calling this dear brother into evangelism. And the brother was like, nope, I'm going to stay pastoring, and I'll also do evangelism. And he tried to do both, and he wound up losing both ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Lost his church, lost his role. Why? God said, go here. He's like, no, I'm going to do God's will, but I'm going to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you think you can do God's will a different way, that makes it not God's will, makes it your will.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the military, the Lord called me to preach. And at the same time, like the same week, there was another man in the fellow, another fellow in our church, and God called him to preach too. And at first, I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Once I can retire, then I'll be your man, Lord. And the Lord didn't say, preach for me in 8 more years. He's like, you go preach as soon as you can. So I got to wait a year to get out of the military, and then I'm going to go. Well, then promotion time comes out about 2 months later. And me and the other fellow, we both got promoted. We earned our stripes. And so now you make more money, you got more respect, you got an easier position than you did before. And so now the idea is like, and then the other fellow said, well, you know what? I can just be a witness to God and preach to the guys who are in my squadron. And I said, well, no, God told us. And we talked about it. We're supposed to get out and preach. And so I got out, and here's I am today. He stayed in. He said, well, I'll just preach to the guys in my squadron. He wound up getting out of the church. He wound up losing his family, everything. Lost his kids and everything. Why? You're not going to try to do God's will your way, not his way.
Amen. Super,
I don't care what the plan is. We must surrender to God's
Amen.
Will.
Good, preacher.
All right. And now we're getting to the end of the story here. Verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Give him a warning not to do this specific thing. All right? Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It's like, listen, go out, don't look back, go all the way to the mountain. Now, what does Lot say? It was like, well, boy, I better do this. No, it says the same thing the rich man in hell said.
Right.
Verse 18, and Lot said to them, oh no, not so, my Lord. Mm. He's like, no, no, not that. How about I just go over to one of these other cities in the plain? Because if you actually read the story, God did not just destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those were the two main cities in this area. God destroyed all the little cities, right, the suburbs that were around them as well. And at first he wanted to go to one of those called Zoar. But you know what? Then eventually he's realized, you know, I need to get out of here and go to the mountain. And it took him a long time to follow God's will. And he probably could have saved himself a lot of heartache and effort had he done that. He does not have a better idea than God. And sometimes we went out and negotiate with God. God's saying, I want you to do this. God may be saying, you know what? I want you to give X amount to the church for some kind of a work. Yeah. Maybe you got a specific thing coming up. Maybe it's like Vacation Bible School. We want to reach more children get saved in Vacation Bible School than in any other evangelistic work the church does all year long. I'm a literal expert. I spent 51 years of my life in independent fundamental King James churches, and I can say with 100% certainty, more children and lives will be changed through a VBS than anything else, any other meeting you hold all year long. Revival, Jubilee, anything.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Why don't we do it?
It's good, Brother Lee.
Take a lot of effort. I'm working. Take a lot of money. God may be saying, you can take your vacation time and spend a week of vacation doing this.
That's right.
But Lord, I work hard all year. How about I just do such and such? We can have one day. And we try to negotiate with God. God may be saying, I know he put this on my heart more than once. He's like, you see that preacher over there? That preacher needs X amount of dollars. The church you preached at this morning just gave you an offering for exactly that amount. Give it to that preacher.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, you know I got such and such bill coming up, and you know my car breaks down every other day, and I got two kids in college now, and I like to eat 3-4 times a day, to be honest.
See, man.
But those times where I'm like, it's your money.
Yeah, not my will.
God always took care of me. I remember, I'll tell you one in particular time where God did this. I've just been called to the ministry. I leave the military. If you leave after 11 years, you don't get retirement. You don't get a check. You don't get a gold watch. You get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, I'll take care of you. You get out. You preach my word. So I get out. The preacher who had, was my pastor over in Italy when I got called to preach in the service, he was from Texas. And he says, hey, my church down there in Texas is having a camp meeting every year, and you ought to go to that. You can maybe meet some preachers, maybe get some meat and stuff like that. So I drive all the way to Texas from Kentucky. 2 days driving. I get down there. Brother Sanchez, a guy named holding the service. Good brother. And if you've never been to a preacher's fellowship, this is the way they work. You got all these preachers there, and the host pastor, he'll pray, you know, who would the Lord have me call on? And they'll sing a song, and the Lord will kind of tell him, well, you call on this fellow to preach next. And he'll bring the message, and then they sing, well, this is a 3-4 day meeting, and that's the way that it works. Well, I'm like, this Brother Sanchez guy doesn't know me from Adam, and if I don't introduce myself to him and tell him I'm a preacher, he'll never call on me. I won't even be on the list. So I went up to him. I said, well, hey, my name's Brother Lee Watts. I'm from Kentucky. I just got called to the ministry, and it's nice to be with you all today. And you don't ask to preach. You just kind of introduce yourself. So I do that. Well, a day or two into the meeting, we're singing a song, and you can see the brother up there praying, and I see him glancing at me as we're singing a song, and the Holy Spirit says he's getting ready to call on you. Then he says, now I'm going to call this brother from Kentucky, and so he let me preach. There was still a day left in the meeting, but I had to get back home. I've been there 3-4 days. And so he gave me, I had preached at my pastor's church on this Sunday or Wednesday night, and they had given me $300 cash offer. I went, praise, in fact, might have been $500. I was like, praise the Lord, I know God's in that. Well, after you get to lunchtime, you take lunch. And the Lord put in my heart, he's like, you know that preacher over there, that preacher needs the $500 that you were just given and sitting in your pocket. I'm like, Lord, this is gas money to get home. I don't have a church. I don't have the ministry of the capital yet. Nothing. I just got out. It's just me, my wife, and my two little kids, and I have no job. I have no church. I have one church supporting me. It's my church from Italy for $25 a month. And I'm feeding a family of four on $25 a month. And I was just given $500, and God said, give it away. Yes,
sir.
When that preacher was up getting his line, I know his Bible. He had his name on it. So I just put that in there. Close it. God will sort all that out. fact, I've lost my reward for that because I've told too many people the story and the illustration. But God's will be done. So I put the money in the preacher's Bible and I head out to my car. Then my mother's words ring in my head. She's like, "Did you thank the preacher for letting you preach at his church and open his pulpit to you? He didn't know you." And I'm thinking, Mom would be mad if I didn't go in and thank the guy for letting me do it. So I go back in while everybody's eating lunch and I learn Tyler Sanchez. I just want to say, you didn't even know me. You opened your pulpit. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. But I got to leave the meeting early. I got 2 days to drive back home. He's like, "Brother Lee, I'm glad you're here. Lord put it in my heart to give you something." Wrote me a check, handed it to me. Folded it up, put it in my pocket. Walked outside. I said, "Lord, I know how much it is." Open it up. $500. I have no doubt. Had I walked back in that room and had not surrendered to what the Lord said, that brother would have done it. Well, it was a joy to have you all. You were saved.
Amen.
It's all God's.
That's right.
You're not the boss of it. Everything he tells you with it. If you try to hold on to some money that God says you put in the offering plate, that money's going to be gone. You're like, "The Lord, I'm supposed to surrender some time to do your work, but I want to use this time for me." You know what? The time is going to be squandered. It's going to be lost. You're going to lose more time than you ever got. It's all God's. He is the boss.
That's right.
Let's finish up. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters.
Right.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Yeah.
Right.
And that mammon can include self.
That's right.
Biggest guy gives me problems is this guy right here. So God sent a warning. Pardon me. This is all a picture of what was coming. Literally to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is not a parable. This is history. This is what literally happened.
Yes.
At the same time, this is imagery of what will happen.
Right.
God has sent His messengers and He has told us in His Word, judgment is coming to this world. Mm-hmm. I'm going to destroy it with fire and brimstone, exactly as He did Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
He has sent His warning and told His people, you need to separate yourselves from this world. You're too comfortable down here. You tolerate too much. You are vexing your righteous soul. Come out from among them and be ye separate, is what the Bible says. And eventually, we got some people, when it's going to come the day of the rapture, where you know what? If God did not take them out, they'd just like to stay.
Yeah.
And He says, you know what? Don't look back either. It's just like, I don't think it was a mistake that the Lord put on Brother Wade's heart today. He says, and when the rapture happens, I'm not looking back either.
Amen.
What happened to his wife who looked back? She turned to a pillar of salt.
Right.
Woo! God says, judgment's coming one day. I'm going to take my people out. And then the judgment will come.
Amen.
That right there is a biblical proof of the pre-tribulational rapture of the church.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
They're like, well, that's not in there. Well, right there it is.
Yeah.
God paints images for us. Remember the story of Noah and the flood. You had God's people. What happened? God took His people out.
Yeah.
And then the judgment came upon the whole earth. Another picture of what God is going to be doing. Another image of the pre-tribulational rapture of the church.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that day of the rapture is very, very close. And I will end with this. I want to talk about... I love to study numbers. I've written 5 different books. I'm working on another one. And it's all about numbers. And there's something to the study of numbers in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But with that, I want to give you a warning. Even though there's purpose to numbers, they have meaning. If you start reading too much into that, you get into mysticism, and that is not scriptural. So you have to take it for what it is, but not more than what it is. God is a God of order, and numbers have meanings.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about the coming Christ and how quickly the coming judgment is. From the day that the earth was created to the time of the great flood was approximately 2,000 years.
You're right.
You go from the days of the flood to the time that Jesus Christ walked on this earth is approximately 2,000 years.
You're right.
You go from the time that Jesus walked on this earth to today, you know how long that is? Approximately 2,000 years.
Amen.
Every 2,000 years, something of major biblical proportions happens.
Yeah.
Bible, according to you, got 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. 3 twos make 6. 6 is the number of man.
Amen.
Man was made on the 6th day. On that 6,000th year. You know what this is? That's when mankind is like, I'm in charge. That's when the God's people have been taken out. And the devil and mankind just think they're going to have themselves a heyday. But then God comes back. And He has what's called the millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years of peace. Well, you know, that would be on the 7,000th year. 7 is the number of completion. 7 is the number of peace. 7 is the number of rest.
That's that millennial reign, 1,000 years. Well, what happens at the end of the millennial reign? God says he destroys the heavens and the earth. He makes a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
And that begins the 8,000th year. You know what the number 8 is? The number 8 is the number of new beginnings.
Amen.
There were 8 people on the ark when God said, I want to reset everything. David was the 8th son of Jesse. He's like, I'm going to reset the kingdom the way it's supposed to be. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And so the number is 2,000, the number 6,000, the number 7,000, the number 8,000. It all goes down to about our lifetimes.
Amen.
It says no man will know the day, no man will know the hour. It says you can know the season. I don't think he means like we're getting ready to enter the fall season. I think it means like this kind of time of history. All right?
Right.
Let's look at a few other numbers and we'll be finished. The number 400. There were 400 years the Israelites were slaves in Egypt.
Right.
There was about 400 years of the judges. There were about 400 years of the time of the kings. There were about 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right.
The Bible today, I believe, for English-speaking people is a King James Bible. That is the international language of trade and of government and of art and of industry. How long ago was the King James Bible put into the, was translated? It was approximately 400 years ago. Let's talk about the number 70. 70 is often the number of completion. That's the time that God sets up his government. There were 70 years of exile over in Babylon. You'll see this repeatedly. When we think about when Israel became a nation again, I do not believe Israel became a nation in 1948. That's when the United Nations said, we're going to make Israel a nation. When did God do it? God did it during the Six-Day War. Because, you know, as the capital of Israel is Jerusalem. And man in the UN said, you don't get Jerusalem. But during the Six-Day War, all these Arab nations go to destroy Jerusalem. By the end of day number 4, it looks like all of the Israelites are about to be wiped off the face of the planet. Nobody will help them, not even the United States. And at the end of the sixth day, all of the other nations surrender and Israel takes Jerusalem back.
Amen.
The only way to explain that is God did it.
Yeah.
And I think in 1968, during the Six-Day War, God says, now I make you a nation again.
Right.
70 years from then is coming up really quick.
Yeah.
2,000, 4,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 400, 70. And I could go on to the numbers 40 and the numbers 12 and a whole bunch of others. All of them are leading to a time, about a 50-year span, and we're right in the middle of it.
Amen.
Don't know the day, don't know the hour. I can know the season. It's about in our life.
Amen.
It's coming quick. And when it comes, will he find us working for him? Or will he find us working busily for ourselves?
Amen, Brother Lee.
Who's the boss?
Good.
We can have musicians come. We're going to have a time of invitation.
Good,
let's
good,
just do
good.
The piano, or just one. Let's not do them all. Well, praise the Lord.
Good.
I do not know the condition of your heart today. I do not know what is that secret sin that the Holy Spirit pricked your mind about earlier. I do not know the condition of testimony that you would have with your friends or family or loved ones. I don't know if you just got a burden, you got a hurt, or you said something you need to get right. But that's why we have invitation time.
Yeah.
Let's do business with God. Pastor, we'll turn the service over to you to run this UC thing.
Thank you, Brother Lee.
Wow.
Oh, my. Appreciate the, not only the preacher, appreciate the preaching. Appreciate the message, appreciate the truth. I don't know about y'all, but I felt a little something in that. Sometimes you got to get the radio right on the station. There's a lot of static if you don't. I believe you hit your own station. Let's ask everybody to stand, and I'll get Sister Sharon. She just played the piano. I was going to get Brother Jerry to lead us in a song, but for sake of time, he's got to get a long ways from here pretty quick. I don't know how the Word of God came to you. I know how it came to me. I felt like, here am I, Lord, send me. I felt like, you know, that I'm doing much less than God's expectation of me. And I feel like we could all consider doing more. I like that statement about the vacation Bibles, but I'll never be able to forget that. He's right. Lord, reach them while they're young before the world ruins them. I like that. Get them while they're tender. Get them before they're God. That was excellent. Good preaching. Good preaching. You might not need to come this morning. I'll tell you one thing. He mentioned several people that probably wish they had a game. He said, I got their names wrote down right here in my Bible. Man, I had a lot of confidence in. Men that I thought could never do the unthinkable. You know, Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And the Lord said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. He said, I'll not. Maybe John, maybe Mark, not me. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's us. We're in denial. Who's boss? Only you can answer that. Song, I don't know if she's playing, but I wish it was I Surrender All. That's what you need to do. Whatever you're holding on to is what you need to let go of. They said, Lord, we've forsaken all and followed you. That's what we need to do. Nobody needs to come. I'm looking. I ain't seeing no tears. I'm seeing a lot of people with, I don't know, looks like you got the in the valley of decision. All right. Sister Sharon, thank you. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. I don't know how you could not have one. You can go ahead and believe if you want to, but anybody got a word on your heart?
Brother Eddie, I want to thank the Lord for saving an old soul like me.
Bless you,
I
Brother
didn't
Major.
Deserve it, but
me neither.
Gave it out. His son went to the cross, shed his blood for everybody's sake.
Amen.
And if your heart ain't right today, the day might be the last day you got.
That's right, Brother Mitch. We'll all get to heaven the same way by the grace of God. Amen. I'm like you, brother. Without the Lord, it's impossible. But praise God, things are impossible. Men are possible. God, somehow, anyway, by the skin of his teeth, got saved. Born again, saved. And I did get baptized about 2 weeks later. I'm like him. I remember when I got saved. And I remember getting baptized, but I remember when the Holy Spirit done his part, and the Lord took his rightful place on the throne of my heart. Been ruling and reigning now for 34 years. Praise God. I was 34 years old when I got saved. I done balanced the books. I'm pretty happy.
Amen.
Anybody else got a word on your heart?
Brother Wade, I want to thank the Lord for being here, and I want to thank this brother for
what
he's brought out today. It was very interesting, and he done a great job.
Oh, it is.
And I would just like to say that me and Jerry's hearts rejoicing. Both of our grandkids, Sarah and Katie, rededicated their life.
Amen.
And they were baptized.
Praise the Lord.
I just want to thank that. And then our step-grandson, he's being baptized today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I like good news. I think it's Proverbs 25:25. As cold waters a thirsty soul, so is good news for my far country. I like good news.
She's got a small baby. He's just 6 months old. And she said, Grandmama, I want to bring my small baby. I want to bring him up in church.
Amen. Start him as early as you can.
I want to dedicate my life. So.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. I like that good news.
Amen.
Anybody else got a word on your heart? All right,
thank
I appreciate
the Lord.
Thank
you for being here and saving my soul. It's what he means to me each and every day. Getting me up on my feet every
Amen,
day.
Amen, sister.
I give him praise for that because, you know, without God, people, you know, that's what I pray every day and night, sometimes during the day too. I just say, God, just open people's hearts so they will put you in it. And y'all just remember Sybil today too.
Amen.
She was going to ER. She said she's got something going on with her leg and she couldn't walk. So I told her we would lift her up in prayer today.
Amen, Sister Sharon. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Well, have a quick
thank
word
the Lord.
For
my son and his wife sneaked in back here before the service started. They're from Ojai County over
there. Yeah.
And they've been after me all week long. Is he coming this Sunday? Is he coming? Yeah, he's coming this Sunday.
Yeah, got in a good one.
They sneaked in here and they said they'd be back next Sunday for the homecoming.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate Brother Lee. And
yes.
Oh my, we do want to get him back. I don't know about y'all, but I like soaking it up. I'm telling you right now, buddy.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's buffet style. Glory.
Yeah.
And man, I never get tired of hearing those stories. I just can't get enough of it. How that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. If you're a sinner and you're saved, I'll tell you, I don't know how you can ever forget that. But we do need to be reminded from time to time. We need to make sure we're not drifting away.
That's right.
We need to draw now and seek him while he may be found. Hey, walk in the lights. He's in the light. Have fellowship with him. Sing his song. Praise his name. Be a blessing, not a burden. And all those things we want to do. We want to have a quick prayer for Sister Sybil. Lord, we come to him behalf Sister Sybil.
Yeah.
Sister Sharon said, Lord, she's got some problems with her legs. Lord, just pray, be with her, work all that out. We pray for Sister Joanne, Lord, also, Lord. We pray for her this morning, Lord, that she might be able to come. We pray your blessings
upon her. Pray you'd help them both. Pray bless them both. Lord, we got some others, Lord, battling COVID. And Lord, we pray for them. And Lord, you're just so gracious, so good, Lord. We just want to praise you for all you've already done and ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I appreciate you coming. We're going to take the evangelist, good friend, good brother. We're going to take him out to the watermill and buy him something to eat. And we're going to send him on his way. He's got to be somewhere this afternoon. He's got prior engagements. But thank you for coming.
Don't forget about our homecoming.
Homecoming next Sunday.